authority that they don't have. And we find that the captain on the bridge of a large ship sees a light ahead and is right on a collision course with him. And he's thinking of himself as being authority. He radios ahead to this other thing, says, you know, you need to turn north. He tells them to alter their course 10 degrees south so that they'll miss him. Because he's the captain of a battleship, big vessel there. And he radios the guy and says, and the guy comes back from where the light is, comes back on the radio and says, no, you turn your ship 10 degrees north. Okay. Does he understand what he's talking to? He says, I'm a captain. You turn yourself 10 degrees south. And the guy says, I'm a seaman third class. Turn yourself 10 degrees north. He says, I'm the captain of a major battleship. He says, I'm a seaman in a lighthouse. We know what would happen if the captain didn't. The captain was the one that needed to order, change his course. And he wasn't following the right authority. He wasn't looking at his maps. He just saw a light ahead and knew that light was on a collision course with him. And the thing of it is that we as Christians need to look at what our source of authority is for all that we do. We're living in a time when, if we look at it, we're letting large numbers of people in from other countries. And we can all discuss about the politics of that. But the point being is that not all these people, by coming in here not following the law, which is what the majority of are not respecting the authority of the law. And we see, as we travel in our cars, we go out on the roads, those vehicles with the lights on the top are the ones that are supposed to be enforcing the laws, which are the authority which all of us are to follow. If I don't follow those laws driving down the road, I'll see in my rearview mirror one of these little cars with red and blue lights blinking and trying to get me to pull over. It comes into, we all need to follow the proper authority. We need to respect that. Why is anybody in jail? Well, it's because they did not respect the authority that was we have in society, the rules that we have that we're supposed to follow. Of course, I know that none of us have ever had a problem with a child, and our children always respect authority, right? Being the father of four kids, and my wife and I have several there like that, grandkids and others, we know how kids can be sometimes. And I can see them at school, them cutting classes and in the park all the time, not respecting the authority that they should respect. The point being is that we as people need to respect the authority. We need to look at that, what goes on. Because again, if we don't respect the authority that we're given, we make the wrong decisions in life. And we can make tragic, horrible errors in our lives. So let's look at some scriptures that tell us about and should help us to clear our minds if we have any question, we shouldn't. But it talks about authority. And I'm going to have several of the audience read some of these scriptures. So if somebody would look up Acts 10:36, I'd like somebody to read that one for me. Because we need to realize that God's word is inspired and inerrant. This is one that helps bring out that point. Anybody have that one? Go ahead.
The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all.
So, God's word came where? It came through Jesus Christ unto the children of Israel. Now, who are we? We are children of God, and we need to recognize Jesus Christ as authority. Somebody look up 2 Timothy. This is almost in everybody's memory. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll read verses 16 and 17.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all work, all good works.
Okay. What does it say the man of God should be respecting? What will God's word provide the man of God? It may be the man of God may be what?
Perfect.
Truly or thoroughly finished, furnished unto all good works. In other words, it says every scripture is given to us by inspiration. And it's there for our learning, our knowledge, as that which will follow, furnish us, teach us completely unto all good works. See if I can put my tablet on here and make sure I keep track of the time here. I'll open it up and get it onto scriptures also. John 17:17. Let's read this. I'll read this one here. Fairly a short one. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, Christ was telling us that we are to be sanctified by the truth, God's truth, which we'll look at here. We're supposed to be sanctified by the truth, that God's word is what?
Truth.
Truth. It's God's word is truth. In other words, man can have lots of opinions on things. I don't care what man's opinions are. What God's word says is truth. If we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about the fact that the devil, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I get the wrong one, talks about the fact that God, that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. In other words, God's word teaches us that Satan was a liar from the beginning, and he will disguise himself as an angel of light. And he's there to deceive. Christ warns us several times not to follow after those that would call themselves Christ, not to be deceived by those that would teach something other than what God's word teaches. But Satan is there. He's there always trying to deceive us. And the first place that he will try to deceive us is to have us follow the wrong authority. Or be confused with the authority that we try to argue. I said that because when I talk scripture, as soon as somebody says, yes, but, it's that three-letter word. When they say yes, but, they start trying to argue with me over the scripture. Is when I know they're not willing to follow God's word. We need to make sure we revere God's word and follow it and only it. There should be no yes, buts, but it should be what the Bible teaches. The truth can set us free, as John 8:32 tells us. And John was teaching to talking about Christ, teaching to the Jews, and Christ said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We can know the truth. That word, that scripture alone established the fact that we can not only know it, but when we're willing to respect God's word and put it first, we can not only know it, but we can all understand it, and we can understand it similarly. We can know the truth. The truth can set us free. John 17. Somebody read me verses 7 and 8 of John 17.
Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me.
Okay. What does that tell us that Jesus' teaching was? What did Jesus teach?
God. The Father.
God's word. God's word. And we already found out that Christ taught the fact that God's word is truth. So Jesus taught us truth. We're to follow him. We're to follow the truth of God. And we're to obey it. We're to seek it. We're to love it. Romans chapter 3, verse 2. It says, much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. In other words, the Bible, the scriptures, are the very are oracles of God. In other words, they're God's word. We find reference in old times, and there's argument about what happened. It's called the Oracle of Delphi. This is a religious person. I call him a religious person in the non-biblical sense. They were somebody, and they would spout forth at Delphi what they thought was coming from the, quote, the gods. As opposed to what Jesus taught us. The fact that we have the truth of God's word, one God, as an oracle. Now, there's talk about maybe there was noxious gases that caused hallucinations for these people or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The fact is, the Bible itself, are the very oracles of God, as the scriptures teach us. In other words, they're God's word, they're God-breathed. Ephesians 6:17, what does it tell us? It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Notice there's this funny little word there, which is the word of God. In other words, the sword is God's word. Or God's word is a sword that we can use. It can be used to strike down one that is teaching things that are wrong. We find all sorts of religious groups that do that, that want to follow, and there are several of them follow false teachers. And you can point that out to them, and guess what? They'll continue to follow that false teacher. I can think of at least two or three religious groups today that do that. You can show that what they were taught and what their leaders, what their founders taught was an error, did not come to pass. And yet, those people want to follow those teachings. It baffles me. For it's the sword of the Spirit from which we defend ourselves is God's word. Notice 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, or through 17, back up there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we can be reconciled with God through his word. If we've ever not followed God's word, and the Bible teaches us that we all, at points in time in our life, do not follow God's word. If we ever not follow God's word, it teaches us that through God's word, we can be reconciled with God by obeying it, teaching it, following it. Hebrews 5:13. Somebody want to read that one for me?
Hebrews
5:13.
For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
Okay. It says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, which John was teaching there, reading. And it says, for he is a babe. In other words, the word of righteousness is what? Well, we already established a bunch of that. It's God's word. And if we're needing milk to bring us along, says we're unskilled with that. Go ahead.
But
fact that it describes it as a skill implies there's practice. You don't learn to hit a baseball effectively. You don't learn to drive a car. You don't learn to fly an airplane. All of these are skills. You just don't show up, you know, every now and then do it properly. So it's an individual effort by each person where they study their Bible and work with it so it becomes skillful, as it talks about it.
That's exactly right. As we went back, if we go back to the sword of the Spirit, you don't win battles by being just all of a sudden showing up and thinking, I got a sword, I'm all right. No, you win battles by practice. Practice, practice, practice. And you become skillful with that sword. In other words, we need to learn God's word and become skillful for it. As we go on in this lesson a little further, but you're exactly right, Kevin. It's through practice, through study, by loving God's word. We don't stay away from those things that we love, and we don't fawn towards those things that we hate. So by practicing God's word, we get a bit more familiar with it, and we can become more skillful in it. So our love for God will grow as we increase our knowledge. Psalm 119, verse 140 says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." In other words, because of the purity of God's word, we will love God's word. We'll obey it. It's free of corruption. It's free of error. As opposed to what we talked about, man, and we want to put, quote, the scientists in nowadays pedestal, and that they don't deserve. We need to make sure that we love God and obey Him. And notice John 12:48. It says, "He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words. He hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." In other words, this word of God is that which will judge us, each and every one of us. The point being is that, just like Kevin said, like we've talked about, is that if we don't learn it, if we don't spend time studying it, don't spend time growing in it, we're going to have something to judge us of, which we're totally unfamiliar with. In other words, we'll have lived a life that's not in accordance with what God wants. And it will judge us because of the fact that we did live this life out of God's knowledge, out of knowledge of God. We also need to realize the fact that the Bible is complete, unified, and indestructible. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us the fact that God's word is all sufficient. It says, according to as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that calls us to glory and virtue. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, anything that we need to know to get through life is in God's word. And the things of how to drive a 2015 GMC Terrain is not in God's word, so it's not essential to me going to heaven. It may me knowing how to drive that right may get me down the highway safely, but it does not get me to heaven. And so I need to make sure I'm studying, obeying, and seeking God's word. We already talked about 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And it tells us that God's word completely furnishes us. It thoroughly furnishes. Or as the word is translated there, thoroughly furnished under all good works. It will give us all that we need to know and obey God. Would somebody read to me James 1:25?
But whoso also looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Okay, looking into the perfect law of liberty. It tells us there's a law there, and it's something that we need to look into. And what is the result for that? If we continue therein, if we look into it and continue therein, and not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer, in other words, obeying God's word, that man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, to receive God's blessing means that we need to be doers of God's word, obeying it, seeking it, looking into it. I'll go without. I have, since I have all these scriptures down here, I can read them and speed the process up a little bit. But let me just make the comment: the fact that 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 and 21 tells us the fact that holy men spake by the Holy Spirit. And we quote this scripture often, but it's one that's important to know. Knowing first that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost is what is it we find in Scripture, God's word that we need to obey. We think about the Bible. Just think about it. Here's what human vehicle do you have, or instrument do we have? There would be 66 books that written by roughly 40 different men over a period of 1600 years, and yet perfectly fit together. No contradictions, no problems. It can only be truly come from God. Written in several languages, I think there's at least 2-3 languages is written in. And we can find all these. I'll come back to this section here, but the point being is that we need to think about Christ as all authority and has given us instructions. God did not just leave us to our own devices. He's told us how we need to live. He has told us what we need to do. Matthew 28:18. The scripture we should probably, most of us have at the tip of our tongues. Christ came unto his disciples after his resurrection. And he said at that point in time that all authority had been given unto him. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So what Christ is telling us is that what he told us, what he taught his disciples, what he taught on this earth, and what his disciples have been guided into, and as they would be taught by the Holy Spirit further, and what they wrote was something that we all, as individuals, need to follow, obey, learn. Hebrews chapter 1. Read. If somebody would read me the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 1.
First two verses?
What?
Which ones?
Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2.
God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds.
Okay. Christ is a vehicle by whom the worlds are made, the scriptures teach. But more importantly, it tells us that in the last days, in these last days, how did God speak to mankind? How did God speak to each and every one of us?
Through
the word, through Jesus. Jesus is teaching. John 17:17, Christ makes a comment, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. In other words, the fact that God has taught us, has given us scripture, has given us illustration, the fact that we need to obey him. It says that in the last days is spoken unto us by his Son. So it's through Christ that he spake unto mankind. We need to obey him. Colossians 3:17. Somebody will read that one, please.
Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Okay, so what do? In word or deed, we need to follow what? Satan? We need to, as it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, we need to follow Jesus' teachings. We need to follow him and obey them in all that we do. We follow man's teachings, writings. In other words, we follow the scientists that try to tell us that man defiled from non-living things. I always thought it funny, the fact that in biology class back in high school, they teach that the fact that at one point in time people thought that, you know, if you left effectively things that we turn into compost, our scraps around, those that turn into flies and other things, they would just normally evolve out of there. Then they taught, no, that doesn't happen. And they turn around and try to teach me the fact that, wait, we came here by effectively the dirt turning into bacteria, which turn into one cell, which turn into bigger animals. They want to teach me the same thing that they said didn't occur. Excuse me if I'm getting confused by what you're doing, teacher, but you just got through saying that that didn't occur, and then you want to tell me it does occur. Which is it? But yet, what does Bible teach us? But whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We need to obey God. We need to obey Jesus. We need to follow his teaching and not question it. We find that there are those in the church and those in the world, in the denominations, they are wrong in what they teach. But there are those that would also try to question what God teaches in Genesis, which is what Obed's been teaching us about. The fact that Genesis is God's telling us how he created earth, not how man wants to say we came about. Because what man would say would be wrong. Jeremiah 10:23 would say, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In other words, these scientists, those around us that would try to tell us that we don't have to obey God, that we evolved or we came about in various other ways. What does the scripture already say? That is not in the way of man. The way of man is not in himself. Mankind doesn't know and cannot know and will not know. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. But there are those that can't all understand all this the same. Somebody read to me Ephesians 3:3-4.
What is it?
What?
What'd you say?
Ephesians 3:3-4.
Now that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand the knowledge of the mystery of Christ.
Okay. By revelation, God, Christ, made known unto the writer of the book of Ephesians. Who was that? Who wrote the book of Ephesians?
Paul.
And so Christ told him, taught him, the fact that by revelation, he made known unto Paul the mystery, as he wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He made known unto Paul, and Paul's knowledge he shared with us. Can we understand it? Can Paul understand the scripture? It's exactly what that teaches. It was made known under Paul, the fact that he should understand it. And he wrote that for us by the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, he gave it to us on his writings. And so, is it confusing? That doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean we don't have to struggle and dig to get to the truth. But it says that we should be able to find out and understand. We should be... It was made known under Paul, the mystery. And so we need to also understand his knowledge. John 14:15, what does it say? Well, I'll tell you. If you love me, keep my commandments. You probably know that that's been one of the things I've brought out, but it's really important. John 14:15, John 15:14 teaches roughly the same thing. If we can tell a person whether they love God or not by looking at their lives. Is their life in harmony with God's will or not? Are we serving God? We need to ask this question. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James. Somebody have the King James. I like the way the King James puts this one.
Which one, though?
2 Timothy 2:15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay, and that says it's study. Some of the other translations is give diligence. In other words, we need to work at rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not going to be there necessarily simple for us. We're going to have to work at it. But it says, rightly, do it rightly. And what would we be, if we do it rightly, what are we? Approved unto God. So by giving diligence, if we study to show ourselves approved unto God, if we give all our effort into it, we can understand it, and we will be approved of God when we do that. Along with that, Obed has talked about this, and it's very true, the fact that we need to remember God's word. 2 Peter 3:2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets as the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. That we be mindful of those things. We remember those words. We need to study. I notice one of the things as I've gotten older, memorization gets harder and harder. That doesn't mean I don't have to still do it. And I don't have to study God's word to try to understand it and remember it. I think any of us that have gotten older will realize the fact that as we get older, that learning, reciting back the scriptures word verbatim can be more and more difficult. But it doesn't matter. We still need to keep working on that. Yeah. I have my clock here. It says 7:56, so we have a couple more minutes here. 2 Timothy 1:13 tells us to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, we're supposed to hold fast this form of sound words. We need to obey God, serve God, and hold fast the form of sound words. That means that we can't just interject any old thing into the scripture. We need to follow sound words. And I guess it's... it's raining again?
Yes, it's pouring.
We have you know, I kind of joke about the fact that it's very true. Central Texas, we go from rags to riches. We just got through a 2 years of rags as far as our rainfall. And now this month, this week, we're getting more rainfall. We know what to do. We got riches.
7 years.
Fortunately, the plants that grow in this area only live in this area because they can tolerate all the rain or the drought. Second Timothy 3:14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard, learn them." In other words, Paul was writing to Timothy, telling him to continue in the things which he'd learned. His mother, his grandmother had taught him. He needed to continue in those things. But he was not to continue in just anything, but continue in the things which he'd learned and been assured of. He was to continue in God's word. In chapter 4, verse 2, Paul writes to Timothy also. It says, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and doctrine." In other words, Timothy was to follow God's word. And we look at verses 15 and 16 of that previous chapter 3. He tells him that God's word will thoroughly furnish him, thoroughly furnish him. It will completely furnish him to everything he needed to know. It's there to make him perfect. Timothy was told, therefore, follow God's word. With that said, it's about time to wrap this up. I've got notes here. Some other points is we need to handle God's word right. We need to make sure that we're faithful and obedient and doing it in the right way. 2 Corinthians 4:2, 2 Timothy 2:15. We need to all make sure that we need to obey God and handle it and interpret His word right. It's not something that's just there for a casual observer. It requires work and diligence and sweat and hours of study and gambling and thinking about God's word. For that, let's close our lesson with a word of prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for each and every one of us here that as we go through life, we can obey Thee, we can serve Thee, we can love Thee in all that we do. Bless our efforts. We pray that Thou be with each and every one of us, that we will put Thy word and we'll hunger after that truth. We'll seek to obey Thee in all that we do. Bless our efforts and forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.